in continuing somewhat of the theme of the day, if you will, I guess, take your Bible and turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. Proverbs 31. Those of you that read and study your Bible, you will know what is involved in this chapter. And I don't guess I've ever preached out of this chapter before. I think this is the first time I have preached a message from Proverbs 31. And this morning we looked at the wisdom, being Mother's Day, we looked at the wisdom of Hannah and the wise mother and gleaned some examples and some things that a woman, a lady could be due to be wise and to be a wise mother and learn those things from Hannah. And tonight, we're going to look in Proverbs 31 and get some thoughts here out of this this chapter and get some wisdom regarding the virtuous woman. So this morning we looked at the wise woman or the wise mother, and tonight we'll look at the virtuous woman or the virtuous mother, I suppose. And pray to be a blessing and be a help to you. I was thinking in preparing for the day and getting ready to preach and just praying, studying, and meditating on the message and what to preach, I got to think about the fact that, you know, really, the majority of our church is ladies. And so, I mean, it's certainly very applicable to our church. Amen. And the Lord can certainly use a group of virtuous women in a mighty, mighty way. You see all through the Bible where God used women in a mighty way. And so let's look here in Proverbs chapter 31. And we'll start reading in verse number 10. And we'll read from verse 10 down through the end of the chapter. He says, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Will you pray with us? Father, I come before your throne of grace. I thank you for letting us be in your house again. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a Bible to read. And Lord, I thank you for this portion of Scripture that you've directed our heart to tonight. And Lord, I thank you for the day that you've given us, Lord, that we can recognize and reflect and, Lord, honor our mothers. And Lord, thank you for the good services that you gave us tonight. And I pray that you'd take the message and you would help us to hide it deep in our hearts, Lord. I pray that you would give us wise ladies and wise mothers, Lord, in this generation. And Lord, I pray tonight that you will open our hearts and our minds to what you would have us to receive from this portion, this passage. And Lord, I pray that you would, Lord, give us virtuous ladies. You'd raise up virtuous women in this generation, Lord, that would fear the Lord and, Lord, would stand for you and, Lord, be faithful to the things of God. Lord, how we so desperately need them in these days. And I pray that you would just help us. I pray that your will would be done in our hearts and our lives, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. So in looking at the virtuous woman, looking at Proverbs chapter 31, there really is so much that could be said and preached out of this passage. There have been volumes and books written through this chapter. And I mean, you could really just go through it. And really, we all should, especially you ladies and young ladies, should go through this. I mean, verse by verse, and just really dig into it and pray over and ask God to help you to be the type of woman that God would have you to be and be the virtuous woman. We find out in verse number 10, as he opens this entire discourse in dealing with the virtuous woman, we find out the very first thing he says in verse 10, when he asks the question, who can find a virtuous woman? He says, for her price is far above rubies. And what that does is that kind of lets us see the fact that there is a search going on for a virtuous woman, and she's very hard to find. He says, who can find a virtuous woman? So there's the search, the seeking there, and he says, for her price is far above the rubies. She's very, very valuable. And things that are valuable are things that are very scarce. The reason that the price of lumber is through the roof right now is because wood is scarce. Because of all the shutdowns and the things that took place last year, the lumber yards and things like that, they were behind. From what I understand, they were already behind and barely keeping up with the demand for it as it is. But then after last year, it just put them so far behind that the demand is still up and even higher, but the supply is lower. They're just so far behind, they just can't keep up. And so what that does is that drives the price up. The scarcity of it, coupled with the demand of it, drives the price up. They say, someone told me the other day, it's 37% higher. The cost of building a home is now 30% higher this year than what it was this time last year. 37%. If you can imagine building a $100,000 house, you'd have to add $37,000 to the price of building that same house. I mean, that's unreal, you know. But that's what's driving that, supply and demand, the scarcity of it. And what God is letting us know here in the book of Proverbs, that whenever it comes to a virtuous woman, I mean a truly virtuous woman, that her price is very high. There is a great demand, but there's a scarcity when it comes to truly virtuous women. There's not many out there. They're just not readily available. And so, you know, you're going to be, if you are a virtuous woman, you're going to be one among many, or one among few, rather, because of the scarcity of the virtuous woman. Now, Proverbs, this is Proverbs 31, exactly 10 chapters before this in Proverbs 21, and verse number 9, it says this. He said, it is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. In other words, you'd be better off living up in an attic somewhere with no heat, no air, no running water, but getting you some peace and quiet than in a big, wide, nice house with a woman that is brawling and nagging you to death and driving you crazy and is wicked as the devil and has the spirit of Jezebel. It would be better to live up in an attic or on the top of the corner of a house than be in the house with a wicked woman. Billy Kelly used to talk about how a godly, precious, meek, and quiet woman is one of the greatest blessings that anyone could have, that the world has, this side of eternity. He said a wicked woman is one of the most terrible things that ever wiggled out of hell. And the same is true. Wicked women can do a lot of damage. And it's better to, according to the Bible, better to live up in an attic somewhere than in a really, really nice house. With, don't matter how big and nice your house is, if you're in there with a wicked woman, you'd be better off somewhere else. Amen. Proverbs 31, however, is the opposite side. It's the opposite side of the same coin, showing us really the blessing and what a great gift a virtuous woman is. And I just want to look through this chapter and give you some thoughts, pull out some things that the Lord's given us regarding maybe just some virtues. And this, by the way, this is not everything. This is nowhere close to everything that you could draw out and apply to your life in being a virtuous woman. But they're just a few things, just a few thoughts that the Lord's given us. Some of the virtues, about seven virtues of the virtuous woman. First of all, in verse 10 and 11, look at what it says. Who can find a virtuous woman for a price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. So first of all, in these first two verses, we find that the virtuous woman is, first of all, she is morally pure. She's morally pure. The Bible calls her a virtuous woman. Who can find a virtuous woman? And the word virtuous, the Webster's 1828 dictionary definition of the word virtuous, is that of being in conformity to moral or divine law. It also means to be chaste. In other words, virtue is being morally right, morally good, or in line with divine law. Well, what's divine law? Divine law is God's law. That's the divine law. It's being right with God. A virtuous woman is a woman that is morally pure and is right with God and has a desire to please God and love God. Now, Proverbs 12, verse 4, he said, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. I tell you, I know some men that are good men. I'm thinking of one right now who is a good man. And I know some good men, but somehow or another, they got yoked up with some real doozies for wives. And I tell you, I've seen plenty of men where they're a good man, they're hardworking, they have a lot of gifts, they have a lot of abilities, and they can be used and do a lot of great things. But their wife, because she's so wicked, she ruins him. And it's just as the Bible says, she is as a rottenness to his bones. Everything he tries to build, she destroys. Everything God tries to do, she tears down. And so the one that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to her own. But the other side again is that a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. She makes him look good. She promotes him. She enhances him and enhances his life. And the way she does that is with her moral purity. Being virtuous, just simply virtuous by the very definition of the word. And so to be a virtuous woman in God's eyes, it starts with moral purity. A young girl who is given over to carnality and the flesh and given over to the trends and the fashions and the styles of the world and the trends and the fashions of Hollywood and the trends and the fashions of what everybody's doing will never be a virtuous woman in God's eyes because there's no virtue in those things. It requires virtue to be virtuous. And so, first of all, she's morally pure. Second of all, we see in verse 12, not only is the virtuous woman morally pure, but she is also ethically upright. She's ethical in her doings and her living and her business. Look at what it says in verse 12. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. See, the Bible tells us that a husband can trust a virtuous woman. He can trust her when she leaves the house. He can trust her when she's got the debit card. He can trust her whenever she's out and about and doing her business. A husband, his heart can safely trust in a virtuous woman because she's morally pure, but then she's also ethically upright. She's not going to do anything underhanded, not going to do anything behind closed doors, not going to do anything under the table, so to speak, not going to do any kind of back door deals or anything like that in handling the family's finances or handling the managing of the home or anything like that. The husband can trust her, and she's devoted to the welfare of her husband. That's why he can trust her so completely. I'll tell you, it would be terrible. Speaking as a husband, speaking from the man's side, it would be awful to be married to someone that you could not trust. That would be terrible. That would be awful. I mean, to always constantly be having to check behind somebody and not know if they're telling you the truth and not know if, you know, if the way they're handling things is the way they're telling you they're handling things is actually the way they're handling things. To just not be able to trust someone would be terrible. And that would be awful. But the Bible says that the virtuous woman will do good to her husband and not evil all the days of their life. You know what, you know what society promotes with women? Society promotes this career woman, this independent woman that stands against her husband, that does her own thing in spite of her husband, that doesn't let a man tell her what to do, that's not going to let a man rule her. Not, you know what I'm saying? It's that you know, that feminist liberal philosophy of woman. And that stuff's creeped into the church too. That stuff's creeped into, because, I mean, you know, we're raised generations in the public school, and that's all they get out there. I mean, they get that philosophy and that mentality, and that's what's being pumped into them all the time. But that is so foreign and opposite of the Bible. God said she'll do him good and not evil all the days of her life. So she's ethically upright. And then, if you look in verse number 13, we find that she is also industriously active. Verse 13 says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Not begrudgingly, not grumbling and complaining, and not spitefully, but she worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 14 says, she is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Look down into verse 17. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. That has to do with her health and taking care of her health. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. Now, for both sides, for both men and women, for all mankind, the Bible condemns laziness. Laziness is very much condemned. The Bible talks about a man that would not take care of his own is worse than an infidel. If a man won't work, he shouldn't eat, and all those things. The Bible, all through the Word of God, condemns laziness. And even through Proverbs, the Book of Wisdom condemns laziness and has a lot to say about the sluggard and all those things. But here, particularly, specifically, when dealing with the virtue of a godly woman or a virtuous woman, he deals with the work ethic and how she is industrious and she is active. She is always active, working and looking how she might improve her family and her family's situation. The Bible, again, through Proverbs, warns against the neglect of the sluggard. If you look back, just a few chapters in Proverbs chapter 20. I mean, there's so much that we could, so many verses we could read in Proverbs about the sluggard, but in Proverbs 20 and verse 4, it says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing." That is, the sluggard, the lazy person, only does what he or she feels like doing. If it's cold outside, the cold is uncomfortable. And so since it's cold and since it's uncomfortable, he says, "Well, I'm not going to plow today, I'll plow tomorrow." And whenever it gets to be tomorrow, it's either still too cold or it's still too hot or it's raining or it's not just right. And there's some other excuse for why I won't do it tomorrow, because you don't feel like doing it tomorrow. And so since the sluggard won't plow in the cold, won't work in the cold, or won't work and do what is necessary when it's a little uncomfortable and he doesn't feel like it, come harvest time, he's going to be in a mess. He's going to be begging somebody else for what they plowed for when it was cold. That's what the Bible says about the sluggard. And it has a lot to say about that. But the virtuous woman is not that way. A woman that is filled with virtue and godliness, she not only works, but she finds joy in her work. She works with a merry heart, and she enjoys being a blessing to her family and being a blessing to her children and being a blessing to her husband. She enjoys and finds joy in the things that she does. I mean, you just look through the verses there. I mean, you can see that very clearly without going too deep into it and getting, I mean, again, we're just kind of hitting the high spots here. But it says in verse 27 that she looketh well to the ways of her household. She looketh well to the ways. She's always looking for something that she can do to improve her household. Well, I tell you, I saw an instant difference when me and my wife got married within the household. There is a difference in the spirit. There is a difference in the decoration. There's a difference in the smell of the place. There's a difference in everything, man. Whenever I was living by myself, I didn't care what was on the walls. So there was nothing on the walls. And I didn't care. I mean, I wanted the place to be clean. I'm kind of a neat freak. My wife will tell you that. But, I mean, I want the place to be clean, all that stuff. But, man, when we got married, I remember, like, the first day walking in from work after Hannah had been home. We got married, and I'd gone off to work for the day, and she was at home. And, like, all the stuff she had done, like, putting out flowers and all this stuff. Stuff I would have never done, personally. But when I walk in and look at it, I'm like, man, this is nice. You walk in and supper's cooking and it smells good and there's music playing. And I mean, just the whole spirit of the place is just different. And boy, that's what happens whenever a virtuous woman looks well to the ways of her household. It brings a whole new spirit to the place. Boy, things are a lot different when my wife isn't around. Things are a lot different. It's a whole different spirit. Because Hannah, I would say, does a tremendous job of looking well to the ways of her household. And so I'm going by her because she's the only one I have to go by. She's the only wife I've got, the only one I've ever had. And so, you know, anyways. But that is what a virtuous woman, she is industriously active. She is buying fields and planting vineyards, and she's importing garments and importing food and trying to fix good meals for her family that'll be, you know, things that they've never had before that are really good. I mean, all that you see right here in those verses has to do with being industrious. But then also, she is economically prudent. Verse 16. It says, she considereth the field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. And then now in verse number 18, she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. Verse 21, she is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. Verse 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. She's doing the best, she absolute best that she can with what she has. With what money she has, with the ability that she has, with the means, the things that she has available to her, she's doing the absolute best she can for her household. She's taking everything she's got and she's stretching it and adding to it to its full potential. She's being industrious, she's being economical, and she's being a real blessing to her household. The Bible says she's not even afraid for the snow because she's clothed her family. She's got their needs taken care of. So she's not worried about this because she's taken the time and put in the effort to make sure the needs of her children and her family are taken care of. And she's being prudent in those things. Verse 16 specifically, if you'll look there, verse 16 has three verbs which complement the financial wisdom of the good woman. Now again, good and virtuous women, they are rare. But one of the hallmarks of them is financial wisdom. And there's three verbs there that complement that financial wisdom. It says, she considers, that's one verb. She buys, that's the second verb. And she plants. She first considers it. She thinks about it. She assesses the situation. She makes a decision. Is this wise? Is this a wise purchase? Is this a practical purchase? Is this a good purchase? Is this going to be a blessing to my family and my household if I buy this property? But then she doesn't just buy it and let it all go to waste. She doesn't go into it with good intentions and then just leave it to overgrow and leave it undone and waste the money and waste the thing, all that, the investment that was put into it. Not only does she consider, and then when she buys it, she actually goes ahead and she plants it. Or she considers it, but then when she makes a consideration, then she buys it, but then she plants it. She puts in the work to plant it. She follows through with her financial investments. A lot of people, and I've been guilty of this, and I'm sure you probably have too, have maybe gone and made a consideration and bought something with really good intentions of either making some money or making something good out of what you just bought, and you wind up just never following through. You have those half-done projects around your house, right? You know, where you thought, well, we'll build this deck for our house and it'll be nice. Or we'll do this and it'll be nice. Or we'll do, you know, whatever and it'll be really nice. And so you go and you buy all the stuff, you buy the wood, you buy whatever, and then you just never follow through with it. And what happens is the whole investment winds up going to waste. You wind up just really wasting the money and even wasting the time that you put into it because it's just a half-done project, right? Well, the virtuous woman, she's not that way. She makes a consideration before she buys, and then she buys, and then she plants. She follows through with what she buys. And so it indicates her good financial judgment. Indicates the opposite of her laziness as well, that she's a hard worker. And so she's economical and prudent. But then she's also benevolent and generous. She's giving. She has a tender heart in giving and meeting needs. In verse 20, look at what it says. It says that she stretched out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reached forth. She reacheth forth with her hands to the needy. Now, she has a heart of love. The virtuous woman, according to Proverbs 31, has a heart of love. For her home. Her heart is for her home. Her heart is for her husband and her children to bless her home, bless her children. But that love that she has never stops at home if she's a virtuous woman. If she's full of virtue and God, it never stops at home. Whenever she looks out and there's somebody that she knows in the church or a friend or a family member or someone around her and there's a real, genuine need, the virtuous woman is moved with compassion to meet the needs of those that are around her. She doesn't shut up her bowels of compassion and is only concerned about her family and only concerned about her tribe. A lot of people are that way. I mean, they're great in taking care of their home and taking care of their family, but as far as they're concerned, they've got their tribe, they've got their family, and everybody else doesn't matter. But true virtue and true godliness manifests itself in the life of a woman that would look at the needs of others, and not just the needs of her family and the needs of her home, the needs of her own tribe, but the needs of others, and would reach out to be a blessing to those around them, meet the needs and give to others. And so she's generous and giving and benevolent. But then in verse 23, look at what it says. It says, her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. So one of the other things, or the other virtues, I guess, of a virtuous woman is that she is a helper to her husband. In verse 26, it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. In helping her husband, she has a very kind heart. She promotes him and blesses him, and she has kindness plus grace about her. It says that her tongue, in her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about kindness, again, for all of us. Just like, the sluggard and laziness, it has a lot to say to everybody, but it does the same way with kindness. Over in Ephesians, he talked about, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And that was written to the church, written to all of us. But one of the specific manifestations of a virtuous woman is that she is a helper to her husband, and specifically in her kindness. She's kind. She's not sharp-tongued and not spiteful in her words. Isn't toxic and have poison in her words, but she has kinds. There's kindness in her mouth. Her kind heart helps to strengthen the family's bond. Boy, if you've ever been around families, you've probably seen this in your own family. Boy, it seems like the kindness of a mother. If there's a kind mother in the family, a kind matriarch, if you will, and she's a woman that is a kind woman, that sets the tone and sets the atmosphere for the whole family. You get a family get together, and that kindness just seems to set the tone for everybody in the family. And that's how the Lord uses women. That's how the Lord uses a virtuous woman. And it strengthens that family bond by bringing the whole family together through kindness. You know, nothing brings people together through more than kindness. And I have found in my life, this is just practical, but I have just found when I think about it and look back that the families that I know that seem to be the closest families, I mean, they are just so close and just so tight-knit, and they all love one another, and they love being together, and they're not fussing and fighting at the family gatherings, and there's not all kinds of drama all the time with the family. You know what the common denominator in all the families like that I find? It's always kindness. You get around them, and they're all kind to each other, and they all have a smile on their face, and they all love one another, and they're just good to one another. They talk kindly to one another. Now, we all cut up and goof off and goof around, and matter of fact, I mean, us guys, we're definitely that way, right? I mean, I love goofing off and cutting up with the guys. You know, matter of fact, Brother Gravely, me and Brother Gravely have said many times, he's told me many times, he said, you know, people are going to get around us, they're going to think we hate each other. Because how mean we are to each other all the time. But we're just cutting up and goofing off, you know. And we do stuff like that, and we understand. We're just kidding around. But I tell you, at the end of the day, the families and the people that I know that have the closest families, they're always that heart of kindness, and it always seems to center and come from that mother. It seems like she's always a kind woman, and it sets the tone for the whole rest of the family. And what that does is it makes her husband a man of importance in the community. There are so many men who are so much better off because of simply who they're married to. I mean, I know that I'm better off in my ministry and I'm better off in my life just because who I'm married to, because my wife is very kind and she's not like me. She's kind. She's very nice to everybody. And she's not, I can be abrasive sometimes, and I can be kind of loud and obnoxious and forward sometimes. And that's just, you know, anyways, but she's not that way. She's very kind, and she helps to take the edge off, you know. And there's a lot of men that are that way. I've told several people that, you know, I've just embraced the fact that people endure me to have my family around. You know, I just embrace that. But the truth is, a virtuous woman does provide that for her husband. A lot of men are known, and you cannot disconnect the wife from that husband. They always associate the two together, and people think about what a blessing that she is and how kind that lady is, and that improves their view of him and the whole family. And so she's a helper to her husband. Then last of all, the seventh virtue here that I want to point out is that she is not only is she morally pure and ethically upright and industrious and economical and generous and a help to her husband, but then last of all, she, because of all those things, she is greatly honored. In verse 28, it says, "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." She shall be praised. He didn't say she should be praised, not she ought to be praised. He said she shall be praised. If a woman fears the Lord and follows the Lord, she will be praised. It's going to happen. It says, "Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates." In verse 28, we see that she's honored by her children. Her children arise up and call her blessed. And, there's no replacing a mother in the heart of children. We know that. I mean, it's wonderful. We all could look back and say and thank the Lord for our dads and thank the Lord for the good man that our fathers were. But there just is no replacing a mother in the heart of a child. All children will look back and dearly love their mother, specifically, especially if she was virtuous, if she was a virtuous woman. It says her children will arise up and call her blessed. And so she's honored by her children, but then she's praised by her husband. Her husband also, and he praiseth her, the verse says. And so the virtuous woman is going to be with praise. There's been a lot of women that have lived and died since the beginning of time, since the Lord created the earth. There's been a lot of them that have lived and died. And they've sought after carnal things and things that maybe were praised at a certain time. Beauty, favor. He says right there in those verses, You know, favor is deceitful. Beauty is vain. And yet how many women seek after those things? Favor. Seek after beauty. Seek after things that really don't matter. And they'll live and die. And whenever it's all said, because they did not seek the Lord, their life was given over to carnal, wicked things. There really is very little praise in their life when it's all said and done. But you know, I think about the godly women that I know that have lived and they've blessed and touched so many people's lives, and God's used them in such a mighty way. And when it comes down to the end of their life, boy, they're just so praised. I mean, people just look back and they reflect how God used them. Just even today, thinking back, those of us thinking back about our mothers, and if you had a virtuous mother, a virtuous woman as a mother, boy, how we would just praise and thank the Lord for what a blessing they were. And so a virtuous woman is greatly, greatly honored, not only in the eyes of the world, but in the eyes of God. Now, there is no greater gift or blessing to man than a virtuous woman. The negative side is that it's better to dwell at the corner of a housetop than in a wide house with a brawling woman. But the other side of that is that there's no greater blessing on earth than a godly, spirit-filled, virtuous woman. And I thank the Lord for the women, some of them that I've known, that God's put in my life, that have always been a blessing and a help to me. And I pray that the Lord will help all of our ladies and our young ladies to be virtuous women. Amen. And because God can certainly use you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I come before your throne of grace, and I thank you for helping us with the word tonight. I pray that you'll help us to take it, apply it to our hearts and lives. I pray, Lord, that you would touch, Lord, the ladies of Unity Baptist Church, and you would, Lord, work in their hearts. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would help them, Lord, to apply these truths to their heart and their lives. And Lord, I thank you for the virtuous ladies that we do have. Lord, we have got certainly some tremendously virtuous women here. And Lord, I thank you for it. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to strengthen them and build them. Lord, I pray that you'd show them the areas of their life where they lack. Lord, show us all the areas of our lives where we lack, and help us, Lord, to be drawn closer to you and made better, made more like you. Help us, Lord, to do what we do, Lord, because we love you out of a heart of love and affection for Jesus. And I pray that you'd help us to do it all by faith. And Lord, we want to say that we love you. We thank you for the day that you've given us. Thank you for this day in the house of God. And I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to not leave these things here, but Lord, we would take them with us this week as we go. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be like the blessed man in Psalms chapter 1. Help us, Lord, to meditate in your law day and night. Lord, help us to chew on and meditate upon, Lord, these words and these things that we've heard today. Lord, I thank you for, Lord, thank you for letting us assemble, meeting our needs. I pray that you'd continue to meet our needs moving forward. Help us to be the church that you'd have us to be. Help us, Lord, as we go out Tuesday night, help us as we go out Friday, or to help us as we go out in our day-to-day lives, or to be the witnesses that you'd have us to be, Lord, doing what we can to get folks to the house of God, Lord, doing what we can to intervene in sinners' lives, Lord, to warn them to flee the wrath to come. Help us, Lord, just to be what you'd have us to be. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we do pray and ask it all. Amen.